All right, this is Eitan Aziza. I'm reporting to you live from the Bite at 10 o'clock p.m. or 10.04 p.m. at this point, I believe. We are holding on Daf Chet Amud Bet, but we will go back from Chet Amud Aleph because we are picking up on a topic that we left off on, that you guys left off on yesterday, of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yami, Olam Yashlim Adam Parshiotav Im Hatzibur Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. A person should always finish reading his parsha with the tzibur, with the rest of the kehilah, with the rest of the community, reading it twice and translating it once. Shnai mikra ve'echad targum. Va'afilu atarot v'divon. Right? Even atarot v'divon. Right? Even these two cities. I believe that they're mentioned in Bimidbar. Talking about the cities that Bnei Israel conquered around the land of Israel, Atarot v'Divon. Shakol hamashlim parshiotav imatzibur ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnotav. Right? Anybody who finishes their learning with the rest of the community will have long days, long years. So Rav Bibi bar Abaye savar la'ashlaminu leparshaita dekula shata b'male yoma dekipure. So Rav Bibi bar Abaye, it would seem that it seemed like he procrastinated, but it doesn't even seem that's what the Gemara seems to say that he does. It says that savar la'ashluminu leparshaita, right? He thought to finish them. Now, one might still say it's procrastinating, but we'll just juxtapose it with the next case and kind of see that that's not at all what it seems to mean, right? So then the Gemara asked, Tana lechia bar Rav midifti. Rav Chia bar Rav from Difti asked, right? Tivi nitem et nafshoteichem b'tisha lechodesh b'erev, right? You have to fast you have to afflict your souls, or you have to fast from the ninth of the month in the evening. The chiba tisha mitani. We know on Yom Kippur we don't fast until after it gets dark, so we fast on the 10th. We don't fast on the 9th. So what does it mean that you have to fast on the 9th in the evening? Valoba asara mitani. We only fast on the 10th. So why does the pasuk seem to imply that you fast on the 9th? Ela lomer lecha kola ochel v'shote b'tishi. The pasuk treats it as though you fasted both days, which is interesting because it seems, again, that the inherent focus, what makes you a good person, is that you fast. There's no mitzvah to eat for the sake of eating. There's a mitzvah to eat as though you fast. So it's a little bit, to me, it seems a little bit odd, but okay. So then we have another one of Rav Bibi bar Abaye's schemes, right? This is why it seems to me that he's not procrastinating. Savar lakduminhu. He thought that maybe it'd be better if he made it earlier. So Amar Leahu Sava, a certain old elderly man said, Tanina, vilvad shelo yakdim v'shelo ya'acher, right? You shouldn't make it earlier, you shouldn't make it later. Kid Amar Lu Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Levanea. Just like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to his kids, right? Ashlimu parshio taichu imatzibur shnayim mikra ve'echad targum. Right? V'izaru b'vridin. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had these teachings. He said, you should finish your parshiot with the tzibur. You should do shnayim mikra, make sure that you're caught up with the rest of the community. V'izaru b'vridin. Vridin is shchita. There's, I think, right by the vocal cords in the upper neck area of the animal, right? If this is the neck going up here, vridin would be like towards the top. V'yizaru b'vridin, right? Be careful when you're shechting that you should shecht the vridin ki Rabbi Yehuda, right? This teaching that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught to his kids was like that of Rabbi Yehuda with the vridin. Omer ad she yishchot ed havridin, right? You have to make sure that you shecht the vridin when you shecht to make it kosher. V'yizaru b'zakin sheshachach talmudo mechamat onso, right? You should be careful with an elderly individual that forgot his Torah because of a cause that wasn't his own. He forgot his Torah because, you know, age got to him. De amrinin luchot v'shivrei luchot munachot ba'aron. Right, we leave luchot, we leave the actual tablets and the broken tablets, the ones that Moshe broke, we leave in the Aron. Why? Because it was no fault of the tablets that they're broken, and so we still try and recognize the significance and the beauty of these tablets, and we leave them in the Aron because they are inherently symbolic of something that's important.
Could they also be maybe like a warning or a sign, memory of what happened?
It makes sense, but then the question still, the question as to why the Gemara compares that to an old person that forgot his learning, right, still remains.
More than one reason.
It could be.
I guess different context, because they say the flask of Aaron, the oil or something, was also good, right?
Yeah.
Then no, I didn't want to. So I guess both.
But I don't know. It seems that at least the way that our Gemara is trying to pitch it, it's trying to pitch it from a respectful standpoint, right, or from recognizing the importance. But just want to draw your attention again to the fact that Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, who wanted to make the readings earlier before, who wanted to delay the readings before, now wants to make them earlier, which tells me that it wasn't that he was procrastinating, it's that he saw some sort of a fundamental importance, or perhaps didn't see necessarily that they had to be finished with the Tzibur, which kind of would prompt my next question here, as to why the Gemara seems to say that the problem the second time round, when he wanted to make it earlier, the problem was that he wasn't reading it with the Tzibur. But when we said that he wanted to make it later, the problem was that it conflicted with Yom Kippur. So it seems to be that a little bit of an uneven address of the issue. But I don't know, this is just, you know, something I noticed as I was going through. So, fine. So we had these three rulings of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and consistent with those rulings was the ruling of Shnayim Mikra. Now, there's a question as to what the Gemara means with Afilu Atarot V'Divon, right, as to whether those are words without Targum, and as to how you read it. The Rush seems to Paskin that you don't have to read those words three times at all. There's a genuine machloket poskim as to what the function of Shnayim Mikra is, whether it's to understand the Parsha better or whether it's to become familiar with the Parsha. And there are nafkaminas as to which perushim are better to use. Is it better to use a perush that will elaborate the psukim, or is it better to use a perush that will translate the psukim? The Rush, from his ruling, says that you don't have to say Atarot V'Divon at all. He doesn't rule like Rashi. And he says that really fundamentally you wouldn't have to read them again. Or, sorry, not Atarot V'Divon. Any word that didn't have translation, right? Any word that didn't have translation, the Rush says actually you don't need to read a third time. So it seems that his understanding is that it's more of a din of translating, and if there's no translation, there's no mitzvah. But okay, so it's a discussion for another time, but just, I guess, draw your attention to it. So fine. Amar lehu Rava Levaneh. Now that we've discussed the advice that that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi told his kids, we'll discuss the advice that Rava gave to his kids. Kshatem chotchin basar, when you're cutting meat, al tachtechu al gav hayad. Don't cut, I guess, above your hand or near your hand, right? I guess not. Don't cut like that, holding the meat above your hand. Why? Igadari mishum sakana, because it's dangerous. V'ikadari, there are those that say that the reason he told his kids this, mishum kilkul suda, because if you'll cut yourself, you'll get blood on the meat, and the meat will become gross. And, you know, I don't know, maybe your concern for a barbecue is the nafkamina, I don't know. But yeah, that seems to be what he's saying, right? So, ve'al teshwa mitar aramit, don't sit on the bed of an aramit, right? Ve'al ta'avru achorei beit ha'kneset b'shatze she'atzibur mitpalalim. Don't pass by the only entrance of a shul when the rest of the shul is davening. So now the Gemara is going to elaborate. We understand why not to cut meat in the way that we don't cut it. So what does it mean, al teshuel mitat aramit? Why don't you sit on a mitat aramit? So ika de amre...
When you're passing a shul that's davening, is that also I guess include, you know, when you're walking by a minion that's, you know, let's say like in the bay where, you know, there's minions of minion.
We'll see. I don't think so, but
it's sort of like a bacon.
Yeah, so we'll see exactly how the Gemara addresses it, but right. I think we'll be able to derive an answer. Right? So ika de amri lo tagonu below kriyachma. Right, there are those that say don't read without saying kriyachma, and aramit in that context Rashi says means a goy, right? Don't sleep on an Aramean bed. What does that mean? That means just don't sleep in a don't go to bed before reading Kriyat Shema, right? So because that's what goyim do, right? So that's the first one. Lo tagonu below Kriyat Shema. V'ikadamrei de lo tinsuvu giorta. Right? There are those that say don't marry a giort, a convert. So okay, that's a little bit. It's an interesting sugya. The Gemara and Yevamot addresses that as well, and there are various Gemaras. It's a very, very mysterious sugya that I still don't get, but okay. V'ika de'amrei aramit mamish umishum ma'ase d'Rav Papa. And there are those that say that don't sleep on the bed that belongs to an Aramean woman. And so what is the purpose of that Isser? So it's like the incident that occurred, or because of the incident that occurred with Rav Papa. The Rav Papa, Azal Lagabe Aramin, Rav Papa went to an Aramean woman, Hotzia Lomita. So she brought out a bed. Amar lo, shave. She said, sit. Right? Remember, then they reclined on beds. It was different the way that they relaxed. So Amar la, eini yoshev ad shetag bi yad amita. I won't sit down until you pick up the mattress to show me exactly what you're hiding, right? Higbiya et amita, umatsu sham tinok meit. So he brought out, she picked up the mattress, or she picked up the bedding, and they found that under the bedding was a dead baby. So Rashi mentions that it was because of the ha'alila love, to cause a libel, right? That she might say, right, if she knew that there was a dead baby, she'd frame him for the murder of the baby and say that these Jews are killers.
So why does she lift it?
So that I'm not sure. But
Rav Papa figured it out.
Yeah, well, well, listen, I guess also...
Pump was on there. She knew she had no choice.
Game was maybe she tried to hide it. Maybe there were other people around. I don't know. Right? If it was the Ha'alila love, then obviously it would be in the vicinity of others. Maybe not directly in front of them, but right, it has to be... It would seem to suggest, possibly, I guess. But I'm not sure. Val tavru achore beta knesset b'shash at tzibur mit paladin. Sorry. Umatsu sham tinok meit mikan amru chachamim asur leishev al mitad aramid. So fine. So for because of this reason, that's why they said don't sit on the bed of an Aramean woman. So v'al tavru achore beit haknesset, don't pass behind a shul b'shasha tzibur mit palin when the tzibur is davening. Misayli the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This supports Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Dam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asur la'adam sheyavor achore beit haknesset b'shasha tzibur mit palin. Right. It is usher for a person to go behind a Beit Knesset when the tzibur is davening. So Rashi says that it's only when there's one door, but if there's two doors, then it won't look necessarily... Rashi seems to suggest that the only door was in the Mizrach, that the door to the shul was at the east, and so therefore you'd pass by that door and you would pass by the only door. So if you were passing by the direction of the door, if there was another door, Rashi seems to imply it wouldn't be such a problem. So it would seem that it would... So from that, I would assume that it's that it looks like you're purposely not going into the shul. So, sorry?
Like Mara Dine. Yeah, like the people shouldn't see you walk in front of them. And
yeah, but more to me, I would think it's more disrespecting the tefillah than anything else.
Because if it's Mizrach, because that's the way it's facing.
Yeah, keep in mind, I don't think that they had minion factories back then. So like, if you walked past and they were davening, it means you were consciously walking past even though they were davening. Right, and that's why if there was one door, so it's an issue. If there's two doors, then there's a possibility that maybe you're just walking around, and therefore you're not disrespecting the tefillah. Right, aval ika pitcha achrina leit lanba. Right, so lo amran ela deleka pitcha achrina, only when there's not a second entrance. Aval ika pitcha achrina leit lanba. Lo amran ela deleka ve kenishta achrina. This is only talking about where there's only one shul in the neighborhood. Right, aval ika ve kenishta achrina leit lanba. So you don't have the same disrespect. That's why I think addresses Ezra's question, right? In general, if there's another shul or there's another minyan, you don't have the same level of disrespect because it's not that I'm walking by and purposely not walking into davening, right? V'lo amran ela delo dari tuna v'lo rahit v'lo manach tefillin aval ika chad mehanach leit lanba. So, and this is also not true if he's not if he's not, you know, running, or if he's not dari tuna. Well, can't remember exactly what that means again. I think it had to do with the pace, but I am not sure. Anyways, Daritina.
One is not carrying a load.
Aha. So pretty much any time that you don't have an excuse, right? So. That's what I think Daritunah. Daritunah implies that there's no excuse. Rahit is running fast, right? I.e. that you don't have any reason that you're you know, going. Running fast is suggestive of you have something that you need to attend, and that's why you're doing it. And wearing tefillin implies that you're not a disrespectful person. You are you inherently have your head in the right place, and therefore you must have some sort of other kavana. That's how I understood it. So fine. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Akiva, b'shloshet dvarim ohev ani et hamedim. Right? For three reasons I love these medim. Kshechotchin et habasar ein chotchin ela al gabe hashulchan. They don't cut it on their hands, they cut it on the table. Kshenoshkin ein noshkin ela al gavayad. When they kiss you, they only kiss the back of your hands. Ukshayotzin ein yotzin ela basada. And when they give advice, they only give advice. Or when they you know form a council, they only do it in the fields. Amar Rav Ada bar Hava maikra'a. So what is the pasuk that supports this behavior? Right, veishlach Yaakov veikra leRachel uleLea hasada el tzono. Right, so it implies that the Avot saw this vad as a good way of meeting. So Tanya Amar Rabban Gamliel, you know, on the topic of praising non-Jews, bishlosh advarim ohev ani et haParsim. For these three reasons, I love the Parsim. Hein snuin ba'achilatan, right? They're snuin in the way that they eat. They eat in a very modest way. Right, v'tsnuin b'veda kise, and they're tsnuin in the bathroom. V'tsnuin b'davar acher. So, and they are tsnuin when it comes to tashmish amita. So that's what we respect them for. So, ani tziviti l'mukdashai. Tani Rav Yosef elu aparsim hamikudashim u'mizumbanim legehinim. So he obviously didn't agree with the previous statement, right? Right. So. Right, so he thinks that this pasuk ani tziviti the mekudeshai b'mapelet Bavel k'tiv, what Rashi says when it was talking about the downfall of Bavel k'tiv ani tziviti et malchei parasu madai lavo lahashchita. Right, so yeah, he obviously did not hold of the Parsim in the same way, or it could be that he did. It could be that there are certain midot that we treasure and certain midot that we don't, and their cons outweigh their pros. Rabban Gamliel Omer. So now we're back, you know, from this side topic of, you know, who's going to hell and who's not. We've decided to get back to Kriyat Shema, right? Rabban Gamliel Omer v'chulei. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Halacha ki Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel said that you could read Kriyat Shema all night, right? So Rav Yehuda says b'shem Shmuel that we pass in like Rabban Gamliel, right? If we remember Rabban Gamliel's machloket with. Who was it? It's Rabbi Eliezer, I think. Right? The machloket was in how to darshan kriyashma, in how to darshan b'shach b'cha of kumecha. Right? So whether b'shach b'cha of kumecha meant the time that anybody goes to sleep or the time that most people go to sleep. Right? If it's most people go to sleep, it's kriyashma shal arvit is ad sofa ashmura harishona. Right? Mishasha kohenim nichusin lechol bitrumatan. Yeah, Rabbi Eliezer. Right, ad sofa ashmura harishona, and therefore it was the time that the average person went to sleep. And Rabban Gamliel said, no, it was the time that anybody went to sleep. And since people go to sleep all night, so you can read Kriyat Shema all night. So we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, and you can read Kriyat Shema all night. So now we're going to have a lot of consequential questions because of this. Right, so Tanya Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Pa'amim she'adam kore kriyat shema shtei pa'amim balayla. There are times when a person reads kriyat shema twice at night. Achat kodem she'yale amuda shachar. Right, once before the amuda shachar, the earliest dawn, or the earliest shita of when daytime begins. It's when a certain star comes up, right? Right, v'achat l'achar she'yale amuda shachar, right? And one time after Amud HaShachar, v'yotze ben yidei chovato, right? And he's yotze kriyat shema. Achat shel yom v'achat shel laila, right? So once during the, he's yotze kriyat shema both for the daytime and for the nighttime, before Amud HaShachar and after Amud HaShachar. Ask the Gemara, hagu fakasha, this is an internal contradiction. Amra pa'amim shadam kora kriyat shema, shtei pa'amim ba'laila, right? There are times when a person reads kriyat shema twice at night, Alma le'achar she'yale amuda shachar le'liyahu, right? So we see that amuda shachar, after amuda shachar, is still considered nighttime, right? Ve'hadar tani, and then right immediately following you said, yotze behen yedei chovato, right? Achat shel yom v'achat shel laila. That implies that I read my kriyat shema of the daytime and I was yotze the kriyat shema of daytime. So alma yamamahu. So we see that it's daytime. So lo le olam leliyahu v'had kari le yom deika inshi dekaime behahishata, right? Because there are people that are awake at that time, and this is consonant with Rabbi Eliezer's drasha, right? Rabbi Eliezer's drasha is as long as there are some people that are awake, that's called the time of being awake, right? So therefore, I'm Yotze, even though it is night. The terms night and the times that I'm allowed to read Kriyat Shema are two independent things. And therefore, even though I might call that period of time night, for all intensive purposes, that's still considered Uv Kumecha. And Uv Kumecha doesn't equal daytime. Uv Kumecha just means when people are awake. Right? So the only issue with that is that then you end up in a state where, if that's what we're saying, where I guess it's there's contradictory. There should be a contradiction, right? Because there are some times that are night for some people and day for other people. And if you don't call that night and day, then...
You could say another side.
Sorry?
Two. Are you getting it?
No, it's just...
In the evening, mincha would be the same.
Well, two people could say Kriyat Shema at dawn, and one would be Yotze for the night, one would be Yotze for the day.
Yeah, and that seems... I don't know. I guess I ain't Sham, and maybe you'll find creative answers. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, or you'll find that we're just wrong. Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Halacha Rabban Shimon Ben Yochai. So the halacha is like Rabban Shimon Ben Yochai, that you can read Kriyat Shema before and after Amud HaShachar and be Yotzei Kriyat Shema of night and day. Right? Ika Dematni Lahadir Rav Acha Bar Chanina Aha, Detanya Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. There are those that taught what Rav Acha Bar Chanina said in context of what Rav Shimon Ben Yochai said. Right, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Right, Titania, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva Pamim SheAdam Kore Kriyat Shema Shtei Pamim BeYom Echad Kodem Neitzachama VeEchad Acher Hanitzachama VeYotze Ben Yedei Chovato Achad Shel Yom VeAchad Shel Laila. Right, so there we have this. I think actually hammers our last question even more heavily. Right, that kind of cements it as a good question, or not necessarily, but it would seem to be even more questionable.
Right, because Neitzachama
is like pretty universally daytime.
Yeah.
Right, and yet we still see that according to the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer, right, we're still Yotze. If I say Kriyat Shema before Neitzachama and after Neitzachama, right, I'm still Yotze Kriyat Shema for day and for night. Right. So Hagufa Kasha Amrit Pamim Shadam Kore Kriyat Shema Shtei Pamim Beyom. So Alma Kodem Neitzachama Yamamahu, before Neitzachama is still called halachic daytime. V'hadar Tani Yotze Ben Yedei Chovato, and then after we said that you're Yotze. Right, so what's Pshat? So Achat Shel Yom V'achat Shel Laila, you're Yotze both the Kriyat Shema of the day and the Kriyat Shema of the night. So Alma Leliyahu, it would seem that you're that's considered night. Right, lo the olam yamamahu. No, that according to everybody, that's considered day. V'hai de karu leilia. Right, and the reason why we call it night in these circumstances to be yotze kriyat shema deika inshe de ganu behahishata. Right, because there are those that go to sleep right before neitzachama, and therefore you know those people that party hardy all night long, you know Thursday night pub night, whatever it is. Yeah, Thursday night pub night, whatever it is.
All night mishmar,
exactly, or all night mishmar. I guess I'm just I'm a shkatz.
Mine's in a different place,
but exactly. I've been at York for longer than you have. That's the
part of the shemayim.
But anyways, so there are those that that will go to sleep that late. Again, consonant with Rabbi Eliezer's drasha that b'shachbecha means at the time that people go to sleep. Right, so at the time that somebody may go to sleep, not at the time that everybody goes to sleep, the general time of sleeping, but at the time that an individual may go to sleep. So fine, Amar Rabbi Acha b'Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon she'amar mishum Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon that said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, and I think that is it for now.
There's a dot here.
Okay.
Sure.